Naheen's manager budget doesn't reveal any surprising cuts or revenues. And is a rail link to Haines actually feasible? It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. Besides April 1st being April Fool's Day, it's also the day the Haynesboro manager's budget is released each year. It was sent to assembly members and the media late this afternoon, and a quick glance at it doesn't yield any startling cuts or revenues. Here's a few highlights that interim manager Julie Causey pointed out in her introductory memo to the budget. First, anticipated shortfalls in revenue, mostly from state and federal funding sources, didn't materialize. They were anticipated, and Causey had department heads submit two budgets, one that kept similar funding levels to the current budget and one that made 10% cuts. In general, Causey proposes keeping most spending levels the same as the FY14 budget. She also proposes not increasing the mill rates to the townsite service area and lowering area-wide mill rates across the board. She made few significant changes to borough personnel, but she does propose eliminating the executive assistant to the manager position and making it a community and economic development director position instead, making the assistant assessor a full-time assessor, and eliminating a seasonal parks laborer, among a few smaller changes. Causey reduces the area-wide general fund expenditures by about 2%, but spreads the cuts over several departments, including administration, parks, pool, and lands. She also proposes funding the Haines School District at the same level it is now, but increases funding for maintenance and facility work. In the area of capital improvement projects, Causey suggests expanding the borough administration building to add offices and a new assembly chamber. However, she admits this doesn't address the issue of the current public safety building for the police and fire departments. Finally, Causey proposes creating biannual budgets from here on out instead of annual budgets. She writes, this would help with more long-range and strategic planning. The budget was expected to be posted on the Haynesboro website Tuesday evening. Now that it's released, it goes through a lengthy process on the assembly level before it's approved. The first meeting about the agenda will be April 8th, which is also the very first day new Haynes manager Dave Sosa will be on the job. We'll have more information for you about the draft manager's budget on our Wednesday evening newscast, and the manager's budget will be the topic of discussion on our Talk Around Town show this Thursday at 10 a.m. on KHNS. A candidate for the Skagway manager position is visiting town this week, and residents have a few chances to meet him. Scott Hahn will be available during a public meet and greet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. in City Hall. He then has a formal interview with the Assembly at 10 a.m. Thursday in Assembly Chambers, which is also open to the public. Hahn is a former city manager of Petersburg and Cordova. He currently lives in Colorado. We'll bring coverage of his interview with the Assembly on our Thursday evening newscast. It's not likely a railroad is going to come to Haines anytime soon. Not unless the state, Canada, and private investors pony up billions of dollars and Haines builds a massive port facility. That's the result of a recent $90,000 Haines rail study paid for by the State Department of Transportation. The study was managed by the Haines Borough, which contracted with Kells Bolin of Prologue Canada to conduct it. The private Haines Port Development Council also took an active role in supporting the survey. Bolin presented the findings of the study on Monday in a public meeting. It looked at four industrial rail options that would bring a link to a port in Haines. Any rail link would be primarily attractive to Canadian mining companies to bring their product to Tidewater for export. The state is also interested in options to link the current Alaska Railroad system. Currently, the Alaska Railroad only extends from Seward and Whittier through Palmer to Fairbanks and ends at Eielson Air Force Base. A proposed extension of the railroad to Delta Junction is still being studied. The first takeaway from the Haines rail study is that any rail link project would be expensive. A route between Haines and Carmack's Yukon would cost $3.6 billion. A Haines to Delta Junction rail connection would cost another $3.1 billion. There are several mines either in exploration or production that could benefit from a Carmack's to Haines only rail link, according to the study, although Haines doesn't yet have the port facility to do anything with the minerals once they reach here. In the study, neither the Haines to Carmack's or Haines to Delta Junction options were considered very feasible, although Bolin pointed out there were some upsides, such as reduced road maintenance costs. A third option looked at a Haynes rail link to the Alberta oil sands. That's an area near Fort McMurray in eastern Alberta, and it's considered the third largest oil reserve in the world. But getting the product to market is a challenge. The Alberta government has funded a $2 million study to link an Alberta rail to the Alaska Railway through CarMax and to Delta Junction, where the oil could be funneled into the Trans-Alaska Pipeline. Or it could ship the oil to Haynes. The study deemed this option was commercially feasible, considering the cost savings of using rail compared to trucks. However, it would hinge on there being a Valdez-like port in Haynes, with oil tankers traversing the Lynn Canal. Finally, a fourth option looks at railroad links between Haynes and the Crest Iron Ore Project, estimated to be the largest iron ore deposit in the world. Chevron currently holds the leases to the Crest Project, located in the far north of Western Canada. The deposit was discovered in the 1960s, and soon afterward, Chevron and Canada looked at the possibility of establishing a railroad between the site and Skagway or Haynes. The current study estimates a Crest to Haynes railway would cost $8.7 billion, and that doesn't take into account the massive port facility needed in Haynes to handle the amount of ore the deposit could potentially yield. That's estimated at 28 million tons of pellets per year. The quantities of ore would be so large that Boland said Skagway doesn't have enough uplands at its ore terminal to handle the potential ore. Haynes would have the advantage of many more acres at the old tank farm property and at Lutac Dock to build a terminal that could handle Crest production. But the Crest project is far from any potential production or even permitting. Canadian conservation and First Nation groups continue to encourage Chevron to give up its leases at Crest. The company is currently working through a 3-year plan to clean up contamination from previous exploration at the site. Chevron has said it has no intention of giving up the leases, but with the rail estimates and other costs associated with mining in remote northern Canada, Chevron executives say there are no firm plans yet to develop this site. Despite the price tags for rail links and port facilities to make any of these options possible, the study touts several possible advantages to developing a rail link to Haynes. It could save highway truck hauling traffic, have some environmental benefits, create jobs, and stimulate the economy for Haynes and other communities. But the price tags would require public-private partnerships, investors, and collaboration between Alaska and Canada. There's also obvious downsides to considering a rail link. Mineral markets and mining ventures are speculative. Prices fluctuate, and that can determine mining exploration and production levels. A portion of a Haynes railroad would have to get approved to run through the state Chilkat Bald Eagle Preserve. And right now, Haynes doesn't have a port facility or plans or funding to develop one. Another big hurdle that would have to be addressed if a rail link to Haynes was ever seriously considered is, does the community want it? Darcy Colbeck, executive assistant to the manager, helped coordinate the study from the borough side. He said the study doesn't change anything the borough is currently doing. The study mostly provides information to the state about feasibility and if the options pencil out economically. The study will be added to the state rail plan being compiled by the DOT. Dave Barry is on the Haynes Port Development Council. He found positive notes in the presentation that highlighted mineral development and exploration in the Yukon.
I think it brings to light the potential for development in this part of Alaska and Yukon. And we've always known that there's been mineral deposits, but there's never been an infrastructure to get it to tidewater. And this study emphasizes that there are profitable ways to get the minerals to tidewater. And the tidewater is Haynes. It's not Skagway, so.
Haynes Mayor Stephanie Scott also attended the presentation. She said the oil sands of Alberta is likely the only possible option for a future rail link, since all other options would probably require public buy-in to a project. But the prospect of such a project is enticing in some ways.
There is a lot of resource being extracted from the Yukon, and that resource is stranded until it's transported to tidewater, and that, you know, we can be part of that system.
And the mayor said it's difficult to think so big when the borough has several more pressing projects that need funding.
I think my vision is very local. You know, I'm thinking about the roads here that aren't paved and the sewer treatment plant that needs work. But in a way, you have to have a larger vision in order to bring together the economics to do those very local projects that need, that everybody notices.
She also wonders how the community would ultimately decide to balance commerce with a sense of place if a rail project ever became a reality.
I know that the people of Haines treasure the beauty of this environment and don't want to have that sense of peace and serenity disrupted. Yet I also know that commerce is one of the mechanisms that keeps a community vital and alive, and we have to have commerce here in order to thrive.
The study is still in draft form, but will be released when it's finalized. For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friednauer. Thanks for joining us for your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support. This is Margaret Friednauer, KHNS News Director. We're making some changes to the evening news schedule to better serve you. Starting April 7th, NPR's All Things Considered will air live at 5 p.m., followed by KHNS Local News at 6, and stay tuned for Alaska News Nightly at 6:30. That's the KHNS evening news lineup starting April 7th. Improved to keep you better informed.
I've got news for you.